Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar. We are tuning in tonight for yet another match week review of the Bundesliga, another fascinating, fantastic, entertaining weekend of Bundesliga action across the 3 days of action. Tuning in with me this evening, as per, is Mark and Peter. How are we both doing tonight, chaps?
All good, my end. Yeah, obviously a fantastic weekend of German football and looking forward to getting started with it.
Yes, myself as well. A pleasure to spend some time doing a little road work with Mark this weekend. We should have some exciting vlogs ready for you a little bit towards the end of the week. But now it's time to talk top tier. So we'll get on with it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot coming your way this week, towards the end of the week, in general. So obviously tonight, review show, loads to get through, plenty for us to talk through top tier wise. Just a shout out for tomorrow. We've got another show. It's a bit of a bonus show. We'll be joined by Matthew Karadzic from the Zweite Bundesliga show. So we're doing a special show tomorrow evening, talking all things Zweite Bundesliga. Who's coming up? Players to watch, all sorts. We try to do this with them annually, don't we, Mark? And I'm not sure if we did one last year, so it's well overdue. So we're really looking forward to that. So that's a shout out. Make sure you check that out. We'll get all the details posted on X and Twitter, etc., in due course. But that's a bit of a shout out straight away to watch out for that show. As Peter and Mark have already alluded to, they've been very busy in the Bundesrepublik this weekend. So quite a few different bits and bobs for you to look forward to as well towards the end of the week, we hope. So yeah, loads going on content wise, which is absolutely fantastic. So make sure you leave a thumbs up on tonight's show if you can do. Make sure you tune in and say hello. I can already see that Justin's tuned in very early on in the morning, no doubt. So we appreciate your comments, Justin, and your commitment, and everyone else's as well that is and will be watching. And make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. Right then, we're just going to crack on with it because there's always loads to get through. Obviously, at this point in the season, we know that we already have our Bundesliga champions, but there's still plenty to play for. And we'll start off focusing on the race for the top four, or well, is it the top five? We don't know. We hope. Well, I certainly hope it's a top five based on what happened last week. Obviously, it's been well circulated and reviewed already in regards to the excellent work by Dortmund, Bayern, and Leverkusen in Europe, which has now pushed Germany from a coefficient point of view into a very strong position to possibly receive one of those two extra Champions League spots for next season. I don't think it's officially there yet. I think there are a couple of ifs and buts that need to be ticked in the next few rounds or the semi-finals. But I'm sure basically everyone in this top four, five race is basically praying that that comes to pass because it's getting a bit tight, chaps. So we'll work our way through these four matches that impact on this race. And we'll start, well, we can start off with, we can just do it chronologically across the screen. So we'll start off with Bayern's trip to Berlin. It was a good visitation for them, running out 5-1 victors in the end. Really complete performance, just a really good performance against a struggling Union side. Some really strong performances by players that were rotated in and took their opportunity and played some really good football at times. Good performances again from Bayern legend Thomas Müller, getting himself a brace, a couple of goals. The first of which was really well taken from a Choupo-Moting cross, who also had a really good game, in fairness to him. So two players that came in and did well there. A goal for Matthijs Tel as well. That was really great to see him getting on the score sheet, being assisted by Harry Kane, whom also scored a very lovely free kick, to which I think he was also quite thankful to Joshua Kimmich's role in the free kick in terms of pulling the man out of the the wall to create the space to make his free kick go in. I think that was for 2-0. Perfect timing, really right on half time to almost kill the game effectively at 2-0. So yeah, Bayern be very pleased. Some good performances, as I just mentioned there, overall. But in the first half, I'll throw this over to you, Mark, straight away. Despite the scoreline, I think mainly in the first half, Union did have a bit of a threat on the break, and they did have chances to counter Bayern, you know, using the pace of Hollerbach and co. But of course, it's, you know, it's about being that clinical, having that clinical edge, which Bayern had in spades on, what was it, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some really good goals as well from the Stände Sudens as well in this game. I thought it was a very kind of competent performance. It didn't really show on the XG, though, I've got to say. I mean, the XG was barely 1.3, incredibly, which is very, very rare. You see a 5-1 win when a team only gets 1.3 XG, which was a little bit strange. But I guess it was because a lot of the goals were, you know, very nice goals, basically, and that often doesn't show up on the XG. As you mentioned, Harry Kane's free kick didn't really look possible to score from that angle. But, you know, as you mentioned, he managed to find the bottom corner after Duki was pulled out of the wall. Yeah, I think overall, as you mentioned, Müller, who I think myself and Peter were, well, at least I was pretty shocked that he earns over 20 million a year, despite being pretty much nothing more than a bit part player nowadays. Yeah, I mean, he definitely proved he was worth that 20 million based on this performance, because it was a couple of nice goals. He showed his leadership once again, and it was a very competent performance from him. I was really glad to see Tell get a start as well, because I think, in my opinion, he's a bit underutilized in this Thomas Tuchel setup. I believe he should get a few more starts than he gets, and I thought he once again warranted a start in this game. Yeah, I mean, it's been a good week for Bayern, hasn't it? I mean, obviously that fantastic backs-to-the-wall kind of gritty win over Arsenal, which got them into the last four, the Champions League, which, to be honest, they have a real chance of beating Real Madrid. I really do believe that. I think they can win that tie. I thought Real were lucky to beat City, in truth, and were pretty much outplayed for the two legs. So I do believe that, yeah, Bayern have a chance in that one. And, you know, all's looking good again. As we called it, I think myself and Peter called it on Thursday, we called it the battle for the Super Cup between Bayern and Dortmund and Stuttgart. Looks like it's going to go Bayern's way now, on the back of the result, which obviously followed on the Sunday, which I'm sure, Rory, you won't be overly happy to talk about. But yeah, very convincing, but to an extent, it's too little too late for the Bayern team, isn't it? I mean, yeah, it was a good win, but too little too late, I guess, is the way you can kind of analyse this one.
Yeah, mate, we don't have to necessarily dwell on this match too much. What might be something more interesting to ponder on is the the decision to be made by Bayern for who they're going to hire as their next head coach. Obviously, the news last week in regards to Julian Nagelsmann extending his contract with the national team, pretty much, well, it does douse all kind of rumours in regards to him coming back to Bayern and taking on the job. So I'll throw this over to you, Peter, to kind of cover a little bit. We maybe have a bit of a two-way race as far as what I've read so far in regards to the Bayern head coach role. Obviously, between Unai Emery and De Zerbi is what I've heard. So two interesting names, two highly regarded managers. Who do you think will get the nod, and who do you think would be best for Bayern next season?
Predicting Max Eberle is never easy. He is a very, very difficult character to predict. So I don't even know if he has a list of preferred candidates drawn up at this moment in time. Ralf Rangnick has been linked with the position. It's entirely possible that they might assign him. He's, of course, currently in charge of the Austria national football team. There were some rumors today linking Hans-Dieter Flick with a return to the position. I don't believe that that's very, very credible. My colleague at Bully Newsroom also linked Lucien Favre with the position. I somehow think that might not be the best idea either. It really does get dicey now, I think, because that Nagelsmann news that dropped on Friday was something of a bombshell. Many of us assume that Nagelsmann was actually interested in going back to Bayern. It should be noted that there is a special clause in Nagelsmann's contract. If Germany do not survive the group stage in the Euros, he is terminated immediately, and his entire salary beyond the Euros is annulled. So it's not inconceivable that he could be brought back into the discussion. I mean, at this juncture, I really don't know. I'm not hearing any credible rumors at the moment, and that's key. I mean, right now, I mean, we had Mourinho rumors that were surfacing a few weeks back. I mean, that's all junk. This is one of the most covered stories in all of global football, and so it stands to reason that there's going to be a lot of just absolute crap out there about, you know, what's going on. And I have not read anything credible as of yet. I wish I could tell you. but from what I'm seeing right now, I really don't know who the preferred candidate is, even at this point, for Max Eberl and Christoph Freund. Wish I had a better answer for you there, Rory.
Oh, no, not at all. Just throwing names out there to create some rumors myself, actually. Why not? I mean, it will be interesting. It's a big job on whomever's hands are lucky enough to get, which obviously is a great job to have overall. So let's move on to our next match. I mean, for Union, just before quickly moving on, obviously they're getting drawn into that battle now, aren't they? And things, I mean, hosting Bayern is never a guarantee. Well, it's never going to be an easy game, regardless of what season they're having. So they can maybe just try and refocus and go in from here. But we know we'll talk about relegation shortly. They're well in it right now, based on results. So we'll probably be covering them more so in shows to come in regards to how they're going to have to battle their way out of the mire. But just for time's sake, we'll move on to the next game, which was involving, again, a similar kind of structure in terms of a side who's not in form, taking on a side completely in form. But this one didn't go the way of the form book chaps on Sunday. Werder 2, Stuttgart 1, a really important win for Werder. Two goals from Marvin Dusch. Obviously, one from the penalty spot and then one from a really nice kind of cross, first-time finish, kind of shinning it or side-footing it into the far corner to make it 2-0, which Stuttgart were not able to pull themselves back from. A consolation goal, can we say, from Undav. It could well have been the spark, and it almost was the spark, but just a little bit too little too late. For my two pens from a Stuttgart point of view, I'll just throw it out there. One of the most disappointed I've been, it's the most disappointed I've been for a long time, actually, probably since that Balkan match that Stuttgart lost. I just thought the tempo was off, the passing accuracy and intent wasn't quite there. One thing that I really disliked about the forward play from Stuttgart in this match, and I haven't seen it at all or much this entire season, was just selfishness in front of goal and creating chances. And when there were chances, because if we look at the XG, which again, games are not made and done on, but in a game where Stuttgart were about as poor as they could have been for most of the season, they still had an XG of 2.5. Goes to show that they still were creating chances. But when they got into that crunch point, the right pass wasn't made, the right decision wasn't made, and therefore chances weren't taken for me. So that was disappointing to see. It was an off match. They still almost got an equaliser out of it. There was a shout for a penalty late on, but that was chalked. Well, the decision didn't have to be made because Guirassy was offside in the second phase of play. So that was that. And yeah, Werder held on for a really big win. I thought there was a lot of positives on their side of things. Volta Marta was excellent. Dusch came back and played well. Schmidt, I thought, was really industrious, made some really great solo runs with the ball and kept it really well. Friedel at the back was great. Zetterer in net as well. So I thought there was a lot of positives from Werder from a performance point of view, and they really came out and showed great passion to now maybe have secured their place in the Bundesliga next season. I'll throw this over to you first, Peter. Thoughts and feelings, just an off day for Stuttgart. What did you reckon?
Well, as I sat down to study this match this morning, I came to the conclusion relatively quickly that this was the biggest tactical conflagration of the weekend. That what we saw from Timo Schulz's FC Köln was a close second. We'll get to that. I see that Moritz is here, and we'll get to that eventually. You know, it all began with... this was an interesting chess match between Hoeneß and Olli Werner, the SV Werder Bremen trainer, who sometimes runs a 3-4-3. Werner generally likes his 3-5-2, but with Duke struggling, Hoeneß correctly predicted that he would run a 3-4-3. And it was such that Hoeneß decided to run a 3-4-3 himself. Now, the most important thing about this is that when the team sheet was released, everybody, I'm sure you were as well, were surprised to see that Chris Führich was not in the starting 11 for the first time in all competitive matches this season. So he went with this very odd-looking 3-4-3 in which Undav was sort of out on the left wing, but also working as a service striker. I couldn't quite figure it out. Milo was definitely far there on the right wing, and Leveling was working as a right back, or a right wing back, I should say. And that's what led to the first penalty, was that, so, I mean, this was a just a bad tactical move. Hoeneß had his 4-2-3-1. It was working just fine. Players were playing out of position and everything was going just great. I don't really think he needed to tinker as much as he did here. And of course, when they did go back to the 4-2-3-1 in the second half and got Chris Führich on the pitch, they played much better.
Yep.
And it was it was a case of them sort of waking up far too late, because there were plenty of chances. Actually, in the first half, there were plenty of chances as well. I think they struck the crossbar once, if I'm not mistaken. Undav had, well, something of a poor finish directly in front of Zetter. Zetter also made a surprisingly good save. I think the selfishness that you're referring to probably has to do with Leveling, who had something of a nightmare match.
Yeah.
And not just drawing that penalty or committing that foul that caused the penalty, but also there was a case in which Guirassy was wide open in the box and he opted to have a go himself. And so, Leveling, there's been some rumors that he wants to stay at Stuttgart, but Stuttgart aren't interested in keeping him. They want to send him back to Union. So perhaps he thought that he had a point to prove. That's something of that nature. I would like to point out that before turning over to Mark, Mark and I were just agog at what was happening with this match, as we were taking in some field hockey and a little bit of cricket on the sports ground there. But Mark has some explaining to do too, so I would like to be interested to get Mark's take on what went wrong with Stuttgart this time around.
Yeah, I think those of you that don't know, I normally give my dad like a super tip of the weekend, and basically this week it was Stuttgart, yeah. And he kindly informed us just before kickoff that he'd had a decent bet, let's just say, on Stuttgart, and I was pretty confident, but it was always going to work out that way, wasn't it, once that my dad had put a bet on it. And basically it didn't work out well at all, obviously, for myself and my dad, or for Rory, basically. So I woke up to a bit of an earache this morning from my dad, basically saying, "Wow, how can you tip that? Why would you tip that one?" But definitely, yeah. That didn't work out so well. If you're watching, Dad, as well, sorry about that one. But I know he normally watches the show on replay, so yeah, he's probably not watching right now. But if you are, apologies on that one. But yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a massive result for Werder. Obviously, a lot of people were talking about them on the fringes of the relegation race before this game, myself included as well. You know, but I think the tactical change as well from them to go to the 3-4-3 worked really well for them as well. I felt as though Walter Mader, who, by the way, is likely to go to Stuttgart if reports are to be believed as well. I mean, obviously, he wanted to put on a performance in this game, because I agree that he's a player that doesn't really get the goals, but I definitely see potential in the big man. I think I mentioned it to you, Peter, didn't I, before kickoff, that I do like him, even though he's not really got the goals that you might want from a man in that position. But I do think he played well in this game. Yeah, Dux, who has been quiet for a few weeks, obviously he was back to his clinical best. And I just felt as though that system worked better than what we've seen for most of the Rook Runder, really, from Oliveira and his men. And I think, you know, that is probably something they're going to want to keep with that 3-4-3 for the rest of the season. Will be interesting to see how they line up away from home next week in Augsburg, whether they go with the same system or whether they go back to a more conservative lineup that we've seen for large parts of this season. But that was definitely, it was a full energy performance. I think, you know, Leenan, who's a player that's gone up and down, but I think he had a good game in this match as well. He was a player that I initially really liked, but then he kind of went off and lost his place in the lineup. But it was good to see him back to form in this game. And you know, there still is potential in this Werder side. I mean, it's not exactly a side that's packed with quality, but I mean, they should be safe now, up to 34 points through 30 games. I mean, they're just going to need, you know, the famous 35-point mark could still potentially be applied this season, although it's looking a little bit unlikely considering the third bottom Bochum now have obviously got 27 points through 30 games. So you're probably looking at 34 points being safe in truth. So it was a really, really big win for the SVA in this game. But yeah, for Stuttgart, it's the first blip in a long, long time, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's their first defeat since that dark January afternoon in Bochum, wasn't it, when they didn't play very well at all in that game. But, you know, obviously, as well, Stuttgart have got some hard games coming up. They go to Leverkusen next, and then obviously they've got the Sud Derby against FC Bayern München. So it's going to be a hard run into the final, then another kind of semi-derby against Augsburg as well. So the top four isn't guaranteed. There's still 6 points clear of Dortmund, obviously, who conceded that last second equaliser against Leverkusen, which, to be honest, Rory, you must have been pretty happy to see that one go in, because if it wasn't for that one, you would have been looking in a little bit of trouble. You should still get in. I think two wins that absolutely confirm it. So you should be able to get two wins from that fixture list. But obviously this was a blip, and it does make you question a little bit whether they can get the results needed to get in the top four now.
Certainly makes things exciting, more exciting than I want them to be. But yeah, we'll keep on cheering on the German teams in Europe and hope that top five is confirmed as soon as possible to save me any heartache or palpitations later on in the season. Moritz just saying he's a bit worried about Stuttgart next season, not in terms of relegation, but more about mid-table. So yeah, we'll see about that, Moritz. Hopefully not. Hopefully they do just as well. But yeah, at the moment, still in third place, and it was a bad afternoon for my boys. Moving on then, Heidenheim 1, RB Leipzig 2. Really, really important victory for Leipzig on Saturday afternoon. A tough place to go, Heidenheim. It has been all season for most sides. Really, well, workmanlike. First half of no great amount of chances. There was obviously an opportunity early on for Kevin Sessa, who profited from a little bit of slack work at the back from Leipzig. But was, well, Galacci save gets them out of jail there, but only for Leipzig to eventually get themselves ahead, thanks to Benjamin Sesko. Again, profiting from not a great amount of play at the back from Heidenheim. Sesko's effort into the ground ended up being sufficient enough to get past Müller in net and make it 1-0. But Heidenheim, showing their grit and determination, did get back into it, making it 1-1 in the second half. A good bit of play from a set piece, being headed back into the danger area for Dovidan to then eventually head in himself, the substitute, to make it 1-1. And then there were chances for both sides. A good chance for Kleindienst to almost chest the ball in to give Heidenheim the lead. But Leipzig managed to get the ball to safety. and then break themselves to score the second and crucial goal, to which Openda getting on the end of Simicon's cutback or pass across goal to tap home for his 24th goal of the season. I might be getting that wrong, but certainly he's having a fantastic goal scoring season, Openda. Yeah, overall results-wise, a great weekend, Mark, for Leipzig with the Dortmund draw and the Stuttgart loss. They did their job and they did it very well, very professionally in a very tough place to go and win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot about Leipzig dominating games and not being able to see them through, but this was a kind of the opposite way, basically. I felt as though, personally, watching the game, I actually felt as though Heidenheim probably edged this game, in truth, in terms of quality of play and also chances. I feel as though the FCH were fantastic in the game, building on this really strong form that they've been putting in recent weeks. And they were unlucky probably not to get a draw. Obviously, the XG reflects that, around about 1.7, 1.8 for both sides. It was a very even match. But yeah, I feel as though this was one that Leipzig probably shouldn't have won, in truth, but they got over the line. You know, I thought early on they started very slow, and I felt as though Heidenheim were well on top, really, before Šeško got that rather scrappy opener, in truth. I think Kleindienst was starting well in the game. Pieringer, who's in and out of the team, he was good. Sessa, who's another one that's, started to show himself for Heidenheim in recent weeks, I thought, had a couple of half chances. But yeah, as you mentioned, I think the winning goal, though, was a really nice goal, actually. I think, the assist from Simakon, who somewhat surprisingly started on the bench in this game and came on as a second half sub, supplied Openda really well. And, that was his 23rd league goal, but he's got probably close to 30 in all competitions now. He got a few in the Champions League as well. So it's been a very, very strong breakout season for him in the Bundesliga, the Belgian international. And it was a massive goal, as you say, Rory, because without this, we've got a massive game next week. Probably the likely top four decider between RB Leipzig and Borussia Dortmund. It's going to be in Leipzig and it's going to be a massive game, this one. I feel as though this really is one of them where you feel as though, winner takes all, really, in many ways. I think if Leipzig can win that game, it kills the top four race for me. I don't see Dortmund, recovering a 5-point deficit with three games to go. So, Leipzig are on great form in general. They've got a lot of players playing well. Javi Simmons continues to show form. Openda has become a lot more clinical. And, Danny Olmo, he's just always there and thereabouts, isn't he? He's such a fantastic technical player. So, yeah, commiserations to Heidenheim because I thought they put in a really good effort again against a top four side. I felt as though they were good. Another cross from Bester for the pre-assist with Pieringer heading on. And it was a kind of classic Heidenheim goal, wasn't it, that we've got used to over the last year or so. So many quality players involved in that move. They weren't quite able to get the point that they deserved in this game, but, they're safe for me on 34 points. The very maximum they're going to need is another point. But I feel as though they could probably lose all four and stay up, in truth. But, they're going to want to carry on the momentum into next season and give themselves a chance of keeping some of those bigger players, because I think I mentioned to Peter as well when we were up walking around yesterday that the problem for Heidenheim is if they lose Kleindienst and Bester, and at the end of the day, they could earn a lot more money, both of them. Neither of them are particularly well paid at Heidenheim, and that is going to be a worry for them, that lose them and their options aren't going to be that good with that kind of budget. Their weekly budget for wages is only 500,000, a little bit less than 500,000 a week. I mean, there are footballers getting paid that in just one player, basically, is getting paid that. That's the whole squad of 24, 26 players are getting less than 500,000 a week. So you could see the kind of budget that this team is operating on. And it's been a great story, but they're going to want to finish strongly to give themselves a chance of keeping the likes of those kind of players.
Yeah, absolutely. So Leipzig doing a very, professional job in the end, but yeah, they maybe didn't have their best outing, but got the job done in a tricky place to go. Sets things up beautifully for next week, as you said, Mark. Really looking forward to that one. Right then, with the sense of time, obviously we're half an hour in and we've only got through three games. I'm going to move things on. Dortmund won, Leverkusen won. The unbeaten streak runs ever lasting, goes on. The 97th minute equaliser from Josip Stanisic rescues a point for Leverkusen and prevents Dortmund from getting, a huge win for their own season. After a late Füllkrug goal had gone in, a nice finish from Sabitzer's cross, in which was a fairly ill-tempered match, chaps. One with some contentious decisions, some interesting refereeing moments as well. I'll open this one out to you, Peter. What did you make of the match? Did you foresee yet another Leverkusen late show?
Well, thank goodness a couple of matches that Mark and I predicted this weekend came out as we could, they would, as so many did not. Leipzig, Heidenheim happened to be one of them. It was one that we predicted Heidenheim had a lot to show Leipzig, but Leipzig would ultimately prevail. And we both tipped a draw in this one. We thought that the teams were fairly evenly matched and that it would unfold a little bit like the reverse fixture did this season, in which one half belonged to one team and one half belonged to another. Of course, it didn't exactly unfold like that. There were a lot of poor refereeing decisions in this one. It all began with the initial penalty that should have been awarded for Emre Can's stomp on Jeremy Frimpong in the box. And not only should that have been a penalty, that probably should have been a straight red. So when you have refereeing controversies so early in the match, Daniel Siebert was not given failing marks by the German press, but pretty close by most German press sources. Once I dissected all of those this morning, it was a very poorly officiated match. Tempers were, of course, flaring there towards the end. He did a halfway decent job of ensuring that this scuffle that happened on the pitch before any goals had been scored was dealt with in a diplomatic matter, so that we could get two great goals. And some two great goals they were, as a matter of fact. Sabitzer setting up Nicholas Füllkrug. What a week it has been for both of them. Then, of course, more late magic from Leverkusen. Fairly unspectacular goal off of a set piece. But, I mean, it goes to show again that Leverkusen, of course, obviously never give up. I've predicted many times on this pod that I believe that they can achieve the undefeated season in addition to a triple crown. I think they proved it again that they can do so. I mean, the primary reason that Leverkusen were rather limp in this match was the fact that both Boniface and Schick were withheld from the starting 11, both carrying knocks. And Jonas Hofmann was playing as a very, very deep false nine in an interesting sort of looking 3-4-3. And Leverkusen probably were the better team and had more opportunities to score and deserved to be feel hard done by it. Due to that penalty call. You know, we're getting some questions. I see in the chat, we're getting some questions about, you know, next season. Morris also points out, yes, red card for Xhaka, in my opinion. Perhaps poor refereeing decisions by Daniel Siebert on both sides canceled out. In terms of next season, I think DM put up there early on in the show that why is everybody reporting that Leverkusen is about to get torn apart? That's actually not the case in German footballing media. Fernando Carr has admitted that there might be one big sale, and that person might be Frimpong. They might be showcasing him for a sale in the final weeks. But very few people expect Leverkusen to be torn apart. That kind of ties us in a little bit towards Rory Stuttgart, which might enable me to come up with an answer to the first question that Rory had for me in this pod that I didn't necessarily have a good answer for. Sebastian Hoeneß is, of course, Uli Hoeneß's nephew, Dieter Hoeneß's son. He has signed a contract extension with Stuttgart. It is standard practice these days that such contract extensions have an exit clause. So if Stuttgart dip in the final weeks of the season, this is double bad news for Rory's Swabians, because it might be the case that Sebastian Hoeneß is more interested in joining Uncle Uli over at the German Record Champions. And I think he definitely will join them if Stuttgart slip out of the Champions League. We arrive then at the complex topic of Dortmund-Leipzig. What happens next week? Good question. A very good game from Leipzig. As a matter of fact, the big story of this game was that the Heidenheim fans, they lit some Buddha-Säure on fire, some putric acid in protest of the RB. And RB responded with one of the best, Openda with one of his best goals of the season. I don't know how to tip Leipzig-Dortmund next week. I probably would be leaning towards Dortmund, but I will turn it over to Mark to see, and to Rory as well, to see what you guys are tipping for that next big game, which of course has massive ramifications for the German Champions League race.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it? Definitely looking forward to that one. But I'm actually tempted to say stick more with the RB Leipzig, to be honest. I don't know why. I think obviously Dortmund have performed well in big games in recent weeks, but I feel as though in recent times, Leipzig have had the better of this rivalry. Actually, obviously, Leipzig won 3-2 at the Signal Iduna Park in, when was it now? In November, December kind of time. And I think actually they beat them at home last season as well. So I think Leipzig have the better of the minute. But obviously, you know, you can't always tip based on previous results. But I just feel as though the stars are aligning for Leipzig at the minute, and it should be a high quality game, but I would just about fancy RB to get the win even there. But they might potentially even be happy with a draw, but it's hard to say at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm backing the Leipzig just about as well. 3-2 sounds about right for me as well, Justin. Of course, we shall go through it in the prediction show on Thursday as well for you all. So yeah, lots to look forward to then. Right, it's time to move the show on to the opposite end of the table. And we need to make sure that we give due credit and time to the relegation battle and race. Some big results and interesting results from this weekend that have really shaped up the bottom end of the table. Obviously, looking at the result for Darmstadt beating Köln, it really damns them both in a way in terms of the bottom two directly being relegated. Wolfsburg's win against Bochum was really important, of course, as well. And Mainz getting that point in Freiburg means, of course, they leapfrog Bochum for now out of the bottom three directly on goal difference, and Bochum now sit in the relegation playoff spot. I don't think Köln are necessarily out of it, but if we start off with their rather meek performance, I'm trying to be tactical with my wording, so I don't want to upset Moritz too much in the chat, because it wasn't a great afternoon for FSA, was it? They early on they obviously shrugged the post. Was it Ali Du or Miner who had the opportunity, but overall, I mean, the first goal for Darmstadt obviously comes from a set piece which isn't cleared properly, and you know, first time effort from Clara, and it goes through the crowd of players to make it 1-0. And later on in the match, Gerrit Holtmann manages to win back possession, and his effort is well saved by Schwaber, or saved. And it's put in by Wilhelmsson to make it 2-0 and finish the contest. How shocked were you, Mark, by this result overall? I think everyone was really predicting a home win. But, I mean, was this quite clearly a match between the two worst sides in the Bundesliga this year?
Yeah, I wish I could say I was really shocked by this result, but I'm not, in truth. I think I did tip a Köln win, but yeah, what can you say? I mean, you know, we've talked about them a lot this season, and I just think there's a lack of quality, a lack of top-level coaching as well. I know that Schultz is kind of relatively liked by the Köln fans from what I can gather, but ultimately he's only won two games in charge, you know, and he... the performances probably have been better than what Baumgart served up in the first half of the season, but it's just not been enough ultimately. And I think aside from Ali Du, there are very, very few, and probably Chabot as well. Schwaber, I would include as well in that. That not many Köln players could say they've done enough this season, in truth. We always knew it was a relatively weak roster, in truth. I mean, obviously, I know I keep going on about this, but I did tip them to go down, along with Darmstadt, by the way, as well, which looks as though it is going to come to fruition at the minute. So, yeah, and I think actually, Rory, we even went for Bochum as third bottom as well. So we could be on for the big three, for the good bottom three here. So, yeah, you know, guys, we're not so bad after all. But, yeah, as for the game itself, I just thought Köln were poor. Yeah, really, really poor. I mean, Darmstadt just stuck in there, didn't they? They knew they'd probably get chances the back end of the game. This was a match that Köln had to win, you know. The obviously ultimately the winning goal from Clara just came from an undefended cross basically coming in. It the whole thing was just a disaster. They didn't create enough. I mean, Waldschmidt started. I think me and Peter both asked for that to happen. To be fair, he had a few decent efforts first half, but you know, he went down for that claim of a penalty, but it was never a penalty. And yeah, aside from the Ali Du effort, which was a good effort, to be fair, you know, shuffling it out of his feet and just clipping the outside of the post, but not enough at the end of the day, absolutely not enough. In this manner of game, they knew they had to win this game of football, and to average less than one goal XG, is appalling, basically. Yeah, and yeah. I think very, very few people, including Moritz, I'm sure, would argue that Köln really deserved to stay up this season. I think they're going to be a big loss for the Bundesliga. I really like them as a club. You know, the fan culture at that club, the city is a fantastic place. We're going to miss them in the Bundesliga. But from a purely sporting perspective, they're just not good enough at the end of the day. Obviously, they've had this problem with the transfer embargo, which has really done them over, you know, because they've not been able to sign any players on what was already a kind of weak roster, really. It was always going to be a bottom 4-5 roster, really, that what they've got there. But the fact that, obviously, Selke has been injured, I mean, it says a lot, the fact that we're talking about Selke as always like a prime Ibrahimovic or something in that team. But that's what he's been this season, basically. He's been the only one that's really provided any kind of consistent attacking threat for that side. And for me, that is the end, unfortunately, for Köln. I don't see them getting the win at Mainz that they now need to have any chances, basically making the last three games relevant. And it is going to be the end of the, you know, the team from the Cathedral City, and who knows when we'll see them again.
Well, yeah, well, we're watching it with great interest. Obviously, mathematically, it's still all open. It's still open for the great escape for Darmstadt as well. We can't ignore this, the fact that they're not down. They can still win their last four games and escape. There is 10 points between them and Bochum, mind, in obviously the relegation playoff spot. So it's looking relatively unlikely. But, you know, without joking around, it's great that Darmstadt did get a win, because obviously they were setting records of not having one for X amount of months and weeks. And it was quite horrible. So I'm pleased in a sense that Darmstadt got the win. Obviously not great for Köln and Köln fans, of course. Peter, Wolfsburg getting the win over Bochum, huge win, obviously, and then setting things up for the Sunday match, which therefore has dropped Bochum into the bottom three. What did you make of this one? Again, Jonas Winner overall, but Bochum had a goal chalked off in the first half. Osterhager, who was a mile offside, so that obviously didn't stand. But otherwise, yeah, Bochum free-falling still.
Indeed. I made the mistake of making that match the focus of my 1530s kickoff article from Vilnius. And I made a mistake because it was by far the worst match of the weekend. If you thought that Köln-Darmstadt was a hard watch, you should have seen Bochum-Wolfsburg. My God, this was a terrible match. And Wolfsburg have emerged victorious in what I've been calling, and Mark and I were both calling this, the battle of the clubs in total administrative disarray. Of course, Wolfsburg fired Niko Kovac, brought in Ralf Hasenhüttl, then the man who hired Ralf Hasenhüttl, Marcel Schäfer, left. In the case of Bochum, I think we've all been in agreement that this Thomas Letsch firing by the administrative duo of Patrick Fabian and Mark Letzau It was a horrible mistake because so much of the team was built around Lech, his former Vitesse Arnhem players, players like Matthijs Barrow. This is bad news, I think, for the bottom three that we have now. Probably looks like the bottom three that we're going to finish the season with. We talked a little bit about Bayern Union in the opening segment there. And though it was my expectation that Bayern would win, it was not necessarily my expectation that Union would perform so badly at the back. It was a terrible match from Kevin Vogt, who is really needed as that defensive, as that linchpin for the back three. Leite and Doiki as well were awful. And the experiment of putting Toussaint in midfield, that can be rectified. But the back three can't be rectified. That's his back three. So if we look at Union now, Union have, in the estimation of many, gotten back into that relegation race, so to speak. And Mainz, whom we haven't talked about yet, a very, very hard-fought 1-1 draw with Freiburg, a surprisingly entertaining match in the final match of the round, the final Sunday match, the capper, in which Johnny Burkhardt scored yet again, his sixth league goal of the season since returning from that long injury layoff. He looks very strong. He looks very brave. He looks very muscular, and Mainz look very good. Mainz are lifted out of the relegation zone, whereas VfL Bochum are now in the playoff spot. So not a very good weekend for tradition-based clubs, I would say. And Bochum, Köln, and Darmstadt all belong there. So do Union and Mainz, of course. But the Wolfsburg win probably lifts them out of the relegation race for now, although it was an ugly, horrid, turgid, sordid eyesore of a win. They all count in the final analysis. And the fact that Jonas Wind got off the mark there is of vital importance. So, of course, we have a very big match between Mainz and Köln next week, I believe it is, which is probably the tastiest of the relegation six-pointers we have. And as Rory points out, there's a lot that is still arithmetically possible. But it looks to be the case, as it is now, that what we have in the bottom three, I will solicit your opinions on this, if you expect any surprises, any movement between those three clubs and the, let's say, four. We'll include Wolfsburg and Gladbach on 31 points that are still, I mean, Bremen and Hoffenheim on 34, that's probably good enough. 35 is what you absolutely need, but 34 is probably good enough. So I'll get your views then on if you expect any surprises in that relegation.
Well, I think as we have a little bit of time, shall we just quickly look at the run-ins for all those sides and just quickly try and map out how teams are actually going to navigate them? We'll be selective and we'll take it from Wolfsburg. I mean, Gladbach are probably entirely in it, no doubt as well. But Wolfsburg, for their last four, they've got, what have we got? Away trip to Freiburg, then they've got Darmstadt at home, then Bayern away, then Mainz on the last day of the season. They're two away games, you probably expect them to get nothing, but their two home games are winnable, but they could easily only maybe win one of those three games. So that's maybe, I mean, that definitely brings Wolfsburg into the question for me. Let's have a quick look at the other sides in the mix, which is we'll look at Bochum's run-in. Bochum's last four matches include a home match against Hoffenheim, who, of course, were involved in a very entertaining match this weekend as well. And we high on confidence in terms of scoring goals. They then travel to Union Berlin. So that's a very big game as well. So Union hosting Bochum in 2 weeks' time. Bochum then take host Leverkusen second to last and then take an away trip to Werder on the last day, possibly needing a win to get them out of the mix. If Werder is safe, then you might think that they'll be looking a bit stronger there. Mark, do you want to talk us through the other sides running? The other couple that we've got in the mix, do you want to have a look at Mainz and maybe Gladbach perhaps, or Köln as well?
Yeah, well, Mainz, I was actually just looking at the Mainz fixture list, as you mentioned. I mean, obviously, they've got the big one against Köln coming up this Saturday. I mean, that they've got to be tagging that as a win, obviously. And then they've got, you know, a decent trip to Heidenheim, which, you know, presuming Heidenheim are safe, although they're not really showing signs of a team that are on the beach, so to speak, yet. But they might fancy getting a point there. You know, if they can get 4 points from those two games, they'll be looking pretty okay, I think. And then they've got a couple of, you know, they've got Dortmund at home. But again, you don't know if Dortmund is still going to be in the race by that point. And I think that's also the game that is in between the two Champions League semi-finals too. So it's not impossible. We could see rotations there. And then finally, they go to Wolfsburg on the last day, which, you know, they'll be hoping to be safe by that. Because I think they believe they can get four to five points out of those three games. And then, obviously, the Wolfsburg, they really need a win. That is probably winnable, ultimately, as well. And then, yeah, moving on to the Gladbach fixture list. They're obviously only on the periphery of it anyway. Yeah. But they've had such a weird season, Gladbach, haven't they? I mean, none of us have ever really been able to analyse what's gone wrong or right with their season, basically. But yeah, they have Union at home, which is going to be a big game, because lose that and they're absolutely dragged back in it, especially if a few results go against them. Then they've got Werder away, which again is a kind of 50-50 game, maybe Frankfurt at home, and then they finish away in Stuttgart. So, you know, a lot of these run-ins are mixed. I wouldn't say any teams have like a really, really stinking run-in, but at the same time, yeah, a lot of these teams don't have amazing runners. Let's just quickly look at Köln as well. I did forget to check Köln there. They probably have the most favourable of all the run-ins, actually. As I mentioned, they go to Mainz this Saturday before a home game against Freiburg, who, you know, are kind of, they're not on bad form, but they're not exactly tearing up any trees at the minute. Then they've got Union at home and then Heidenheim away. So they're probably the one team that you could see. You know, they've probably got the best fixture list, but they've just not got the quality for me. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, Peter, I would say, yeah, I believed all the way it'd be these bottom two. For Bochum, I think they've got Hoffenheim at home this Friday. And if they don't win that, we might as well end the relegation race, in truth. I really do believe that. I think this is they've got to beat Hoffenheim on Friday and try and put some pressure on the likes of Mainz and Union. If they can do that, maybe they could have like a last gasp resurgence. But I think it's very likely at the minute that Bochum are going to finish in that playoff spot, which, you know, potentially against Dusseldorf or maybe even Hamburg if they can form another great, great comeback. But it could be a winnable tie for this fighter team for me, that one.
Yeah, absolutely. We will definitely be looking at that relegation playoff with great interest, I think, regardless of who goes into it, because I don't think anyone's going to go into it in any fine fettle, really, unless it is, say, Mainz, but I think they're going to get themselves out of it by then. Okay, so let's just finish off today's show, just to quickly cover the best of the rest, the other two games, and they were both fine games. Oh, God bless you. In regards to goals being scored and comebacks and hat tricks and all sorts. The Friday night match obviously was a game in regard, well, having a big impact on the European spots. Augsburg taking the lead with a really good finish by Ruben Vargas. So Augsburg going out in front there. But Frankfurt had other ideas and their front three, Chaibi, Etiquette and Marmoush all getting goals in a good, really good second half that they played. They had a number of chances elsewhere to score goals. A nicely worked first goal, bit of luck for Etiquette to get the ball back, but he showed great determination to get his first goal. It was first Bundesliga goal in his 10th appearance or something like that. So really important for him. I'm pretty confident that Frankfurt are going to keep the striker, keep the player on a permanent deal. They've been pleased with what he's done so far, although, be it, he hasn't actually scored goals. So it sounds a lot of the sound that he's going to sign permanently. And then, the breakaway goal at the end for Marmoush to score was a nice one for him because he could walk it in for 3-1. And, yeah, really important victory for Frankfurt. We've been pretty critical, or certainly I have, of Frankfurt in the last few weeks and months, and the fact that how they've managed to get themselves sixth. Well, here's one that we can say that they certainly showed up in the second half of this match, particularly to get a really important victory for them, and their forward players getting some confidence boosting goals would have been really pleasing for Top Moller and co. The other game, of course, on Saturday afternoon was a really topsy-turvy goal, a game full of great goals and strikes as well. It's not often that you'll see a player scoring a hat-trick and being on the losing end as well. So commiserations to Robin Hack. He just loves scoring goals in great quantities in matches and then not much in between. He loves the odd brace here and there. And now he's got a hat-trick to his name. So great, Rook Runder, I suppose, for the player. Hoffenheim obviously going ahead 1-0 through Val Weghorst. Robin Hack made it 1-1. And then two fine goals from Grisha Prommel and Ozan Kabak, making it 2-3-1. Some really great strikes, clean strikes of the football that you'll see all weekend. To make it 3-1, you're then thinking, okay, well, that's that. But then the Gladbach comeback started, another goal for Hack, and then his hat-trick goal was, well, it was basically a cross. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, to be honest, to make it 3-3. But the goals were not therefore done, as Stack was able to make it 4-3 right at the death for Hoffenheim to get a big win for them in regards to pushing up the table. They now sit on 39 points. And if we're talking about the race for seventh place, Japs, it's pretty close now. Again, if we see a Leverkusen win in the Pokal final, then the seventh place spot will be a Europa Conference League spot. I don't know what the impact will be if Leverkusen win the Pokal and the German side gets the fifth Champions League spot. I don't know the details of that. Peter, you might be able to tell me. But anyhow, it's very, very tight between Freiburg, Hoffenheim and Augsburg. Just to finish off the show, who's going to get that seventh place Europa Conference League spot? Should it be the one?
I'm going to go with Freiburg based on remaining schedule. Sorry, did I not unmute
you? You were muted there, Peter.
I'm sorry. My apologies. I am going to go with Freiburg based on the remaining schedule, even though it would be such a great thing for Augsburg to grab it. I think they showed that they were a team of not necessarily the quality on Friday night. So I think Freiburg grab it in unspectacular fashion.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my Augsburg boys, of course. Yeah, I think Frankfurt really turned up in that second half, and I think. Yeah, they've got to beat Werder Bremen and probably Stuttgart at home as well. That might just be enough. But a lot of people keep banging on about Freiburg, but I just don't see them in any kind of... I don't see a motivated team at the minute at all. And like everyone was so confident they were going to beat Mainz this weekend. And I wasn't surprised at all that they didn't win that game. But yeah, they're probably favourites with the schedule, but I'm going to stick with my Bavarian Schwabians and go for the FCA to be marching on into Europe with Rot-Grün-Weiß.
Very, very, very good. Fantastic. Well, that's a good time then to just wrap up for this evening. So thank you to everyone that's tuned in. There's been a great number of you watching across on X, on Twitter. So really appreciate that. And everyone that's been tuning in and contributing, which is excellent. Just a quick reminder before I hand over to Mark to close up this evening's show that tomorrow evening, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we'll be doing a Zweite Bundesliga special with Matthew from the Two Bundesliga podcast. That'll be a great chat talking about the top end of the division, who's going to come up, what players we need to be looking out for. So that'll be an excellent show for you all to enjoy as a bit of a bonus. So otherwise, I'll throw it over to you, Mark, to close up the show.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed what you saw on the channel, and check out At Over the Bar, being At Over the Bar, at Village Footy 20 as well. Don't forget, we're not only a YouTube channel as well, we're also a podcast, so don't forget to check in with that. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We've had some fantastic numbers as well watching live. Almost 80 people at the highest point today watching live. So remember, guys, if you're not subscribed, then you know, get over to our YouTube and subscribe, because then you'll get more regular updates. And you know, the quantity of videos we're producing at the minute is getting higher and higher. And obviously the vlogs coming out as well, a lot of end of season vlogs. So it's going to be so much coming for you, even building into the Euros, and, you know, hopefully some live stuff from the Euro 2024 as well. So don't miss it, guys, and keep in touch by subscribing. We'll see you again tomorrow, as Rory mentioned. Thanks a lot for joining, and see you then, guys. Bye-bye.